I saw Rav Weinberger's daughter this morning, and she said she liked my clip last night. It was much shorter than her father's clip. So I said, generally, the ratio is 1-3. His 30-minute drasha is my 10-minute drasha. So his 45-minute Hanukkah thing would probably be a 10-minute drasha for mine. Post from Mechor Achsanya, I need to acknowledge David Lawrence. He's really the host of this. And he's been at his house the past how many years?
Three
years. And we didn't try to steal this from him. We only took it away because we were scared if it was at his house, no one would show up. Because the Weinberg's out here this year. So in my house, we thought maybe a few people would show up. It's a very nice nice turnout. So shkoyach for everyone for coming tonight. And I apologize about my voice. I canceled my dafyomi this week because I don't have much of a voice. It's on the way back. But... So the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that anyone who claims that they're from the house of the family in the dynasty of Hashmonaim, you can't believe them. They could be an Eved at best, they could be a slave, a servant that came from that dynasty, but to say that they actually are a descendant of the Hashmonaim would be impossible, because the Gemara Bava Basra tells us that all the Hashmonaim were wiped out. They all got destroyed and killed. And the Ramban points out in the Parshas Vayechi, LeYaser Shevet MeYehuda, that the reason why they got wiped out is because they took the Shevet MeYehuda, that only Yehuda had the right to be Melech and to have Malchus, and the Hashmonaim had no right to take over that Malchus, to take over as kings, as rulers, and for that reason they were wiped out, the entire dynasty. It's a very strange thing. It doesn't seem to be Mida Keneged Mida. The Hashmonaim who had continued the legacy, had it not been for them, we would have been lost. What the Yevanim tried to do to us, to spiritually destroy us, to stop doing mitzvahs and stop learning, had not been for them, our whole legacy would have been completely destroyed. So it's strange that they were able to continue the Yadus, continue learning Shomer Mitzvahs, and then they themselves, because they did one small thing, they became kings, they themselves would be entirely wiped out. So there's a beautiful idea. Rav Zaitchik, I'm starting to get into a svarim now, or Chadash. He talks about this inyan of how and why they got destroyed, why Hashmonaim got destroyed, and how it's a very big Musar Haskel for each one of us, something we could each relate to, something that we all struggle with every day in various ways and forms. He speaks of the inyan of each person finding his tafkid. Each person has a tafkid miyuchad, a particular role and area that he's supposed to succeed in. V'ein echad nichnas b'tchumo shechaveru. And he explains that each person has their own unique tafkid, where no one individual could enter into someone else's tchum, someone else's area. And just like each person, each creature in this world has their own tafkid, so too each shevet has his own tafkid. Yisachar, their tafkid was to learn. Levi was to learn. Zvulun was to work. Each shevet had their own unique character to their shevet, and no shevet could go enter into the tchum of another shevet. And he says, when one does enter into the tchum, into the gvul of some other shevet, it's bichlal the pasuk v'azar hakarev yumas. Zar, which means a non-kohen who enters into the Beis HaMikdash, we're learning those sugyas now in Daf Yomi, a person who's tameh, a person who's a zar, a non-kohen enters into an area where he can't enter into, he's chayv misa. So Hazar Karav Yumas, one who comes close, not only a non-Kohen into the areas of the Beis HaMikdash where he can enter, but every single person who enters into someone else's tchum, someone else's gvul, that's bichlal the inyan of Hakarav Yumas. One who comes closer is going to be killed. And he says that's idea, a person who is rejecting his own tafkid and thinks, this is not my tafkid, I need to do what that guy's doing. I need to get that guy's job. I need to get that guy's car, that guy's house. That's in essence what you're trying to do is you're being chalik chas v'shalom on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gave you a certain chalik, a certain portion, and you want the chalik that Hashem gave someone else. That's hazar hakarav yumas. Hazar entering into someone else's tchum, someone else's gvul, and yumas. So there's a Ramban that explains the isf klaim. Isf klaim is a very strange thing. There are many types of klaim, but one of the klaim is crossbreeding, creating new fruits, creating new animals, by taking two different minim, two different species. So what's so bad about that? What's so bad about making a grapefruit? A grapefruit, I think, is a pomelo, right? A pomelo and an orange mixed together. What's so bad about that? What's so bad about making different animals? So says the Ramban that each creature in this world, each plant, each animal, each blade of grass, they each have a certain koach hatolda. They each have a certain potential, a certain role in this world. And when a person is markiv shnei minim, when you take two different species and mix them together, it's mishana, you're changing, umachish b'maisa breishis, you're changing the whole world. And it's kilu as if you're saying, shelo hishlam HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo ka'atzorach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't finish the job. He made a very nice world, but he's missing certain things. He's missing a grapefruit. He's missing a mule. He's missing something that Hashem didn't create. So when you're trying to mix different things together, and you're trying to take a tafkid to become an orange into a grapefruit, it's kilu you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't do a good job. You need my help. You need my help to make it a better place. It reminded me when I was reading this, I get a number of interesting emails and phone calls. That volume has increased significantly than in the past 5 weeks. And the level of interestingness has also increased as well. So one email I got, an individual reached out to me. So I understand Rav Weinberger is on sabbatical in Yerushalayim. So I live in Yerushalayim also, the guy tells me. I've been listening to Shiurim for the past number of years, and he's very much inspired me. I love to learn with him, so if he's available at Tuesday, 3 o'clock, I can learn with him. So I was like, you need help with Weinberger? he needs your help? It's so sweet of you. So I didn't respond to him. Certain times you have to learn to just ignore people. Weinberger told me, you have to just kind of shut your ears and ignore. So when a person is markiv shnei minim, when a person mixes two different species together, he's saying, you're not doing a good enough job in this world, you need my help. I'm available for you if you want. I could do a better job than you're doing. So when a person enters into a tchum, into an area that's not his, he's stealing that person's tafkid. It's a zar, a karav yumas, a zar, a non-kohen, a foreigner who enters into some other area, yumas. He's in essence being cholek on the sidur of the world, the nature, the order of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. It's like the sun and the moon. If the sun enters into the nighttime and the moon enters into the daytime, they're entering into an area that could destroy the world. That's why an eclipse is so bad, when you're having things that are not working out in the right way, out of the Seder of the Olam. And I never really appreciated this Gemara. He quotes in Baal Basra, but there's a strange Gemara in Pasuk and Eov that says, had if two hairs come out of one pore, it's going to destroy the world. It's going to be so painful for that person. I never understood that. And what he explains is because every pore in the body is meant to have just one hair. But when another two hairs are coming out of one, it's taking the other hair's tafkid. And whenever you take another tafkid and you're being gozel, that chelek, that tchum, that's hazar hakarav yumas. A zar who comes close into an area, into a territory, that's not really his. So that's the reason why the Chashmonaim were destroyed, why they were killed, the entire dynasty was wiped out. Because they entered into an area of Malchus that wasn't theirs. That was Shevet Yehuda's. Their tafkid was to be Kohanim, to serve in the base of Mikdash. Their tafkid was to win the war. That was their tafkid, to win the war of the Hanukkah. But to take over as Malchus, to take over that which was the tafkid of Shevet Yehuda, that was not theirs. And there's an amazing Shita Mukubetis that explains on the Gemara that Gadda Mitzuvah V'yosa, Mimisha Eino Mitzuvah V'yosa. So there are many reasons why it's greater for the ones who've been commanded to do mitzvah, and we do it. There's a greater schar than those who are not commanded. So women who are potter from a number of mitzvahs, they're allowed to shake lulav if they want, but they're not going to get the same schar as men. What's the difference? So he explains is because when a woman enters into the tchum of a man, shaking a lulav, sitting in a sukkah, wearing tzitzis, tefillin, that is hazar hakarav yumas, a zar who comes closer into an area that's not theirs. And it's amazing, Targum Yonason Uziel, he explains. I'm not sure why they did discuss this, why he didn't mention this. It's Targum Yonason, I guess. But when they discussed women wearing tefillin, this is an amazing Targum Yonason. When the Pasuk describes about a man wearing Kleisha, Beged Isha, and vice versa, it says, the Targum Yonason says, that the Lo Yugoloyim did tzitzis with tefillin. Women should not wear tzitzis and tefillin. Dainu tikuna gavar al yisasa. When the Pasuk describes that a man can't wear women's clothing and women can't wear men's clothing. Says the Targum Yonason, that's referring to what's the clothing of a man? Talis and tefillin. And what's so bad? It's a mitzvah aseh shezman grama. Women are allowed to do mitzvah aseh shezman grama. What's so bad about it is the pasuk calls it a to'eva. A woman wearing man clothing and a man wearing women clothing is called a to'eva because the idea is it's hazar hakarv yumas. When a hazar enters into a tchum, into an area that is not his, that he's not supposed to be involved in, that's yumas. That's the chashmonaim entering into the Shevet Yehuda. That's a person entering to a business of someone else. When a person is looking why that guy is being so successful, why his business is booming, why that person has a beautiful car and a beautiful house, why don't I have that? That's hazar hakarv yumas, a non-kohen, a person who is going into an area, a tchum, a gvul, that's not supposed to be his. And with this he explains beautifully the Gemara about Shimon HaMasani, who was darshaning all the Esim B'Torah. Right, he got to all the Esim B'Torah, he darshaned what S is coming to include, it's coming to Marbis something. And he gets to which S? And he's Parish. As Hashem El Kechatira, he didn't know what that was coming to teach us. How could you add anything on to Es Hashem El Kechatira? What else could be added on? What could be secondary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So asks Rav Zaitchik, the only way Shimon HaMasani could have darshaned all the Esim B'Torah, no one, no matter how great you are, there's only one way you could darshan every single S in the Torah if you have Siyata Dishmaya. So he had Siyata Dishmaya. So why did it stop there? Just one more S he couldn't get to? He wasn't worthy on his own understanding the S in the Torah. He only was able to understand S because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping him out. It was Siyata Dishmaya. So why did it stop there? Why did Siyata Dishmaya just stop at that point? So he says, because at that point, that was his tchum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, that's his tchum. The Siyata Dishmaya stops there, and that's it. And once he tried entering in to a tchum of someone else, Rabbi Kiva was ready, he already was destined to darshan that S. So once he entered into that tchum of that Rabbi Kiva, he wasn't able to. That's a tafka, that's not his. That's an area that he wasn't able to enter. And so he says that each of us, Al Yitzar Ha'adam, a person should never be troubled, that a person sometimes sees chaveru hatzliach yos mimenu. A person has more hatzlach in his business. He's mechubada. He's more presented with more kavod and honor. People respect him more. Oshe chaveru zocha vitzliach biiskav. His business is booming. Who wrote lechakosel itim shekein alav lahavin. A person has to understand shakol ba migzeres hakadosh baruch hu. It all comes from Hashem. A person has to know where his tafkid is. A person has to know where he stands, where his tafkid is, and never trying to enter into someone else's area, whether in ruchnius, whether in gashmius. And so the Sefer Yetzirah tells us that each of the months are connected different osios. And the month of Kislev is connected the samach. So I think one explanation could be is because the samach is a circle, it's a gvul, it's a tchum. To remind us all that we each have our own tchum, our own circle, our own samich that we have to stay within. And whatever chelik and portion we have, we have to be satisfied with that tchum. And because when a person tries to get into the tchum of someone else and starts getting jealous why that person has a better this, a better that, then that becomes a zar karv yumas. A zar enters into someone else's samich, outside of his own samich. And that could also be why the month of Kislev is keneged Binyamin, because Binyamin is also, what do they say about Binyamin? The project says, Chof alav klayom, that he was concerned that his chelik was the chelik of Yushalayim at the base of Mikdash. And the Gemara explains that the Ritzu of Yehuda took a little part of the Mizbeach away from Binyamin. And the Psukim described that Binyamin wanted to just completely swallow up that area because this was his tchum. He felt Yehuda was entering into his tchum. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the tchum of Yehuda, he earned it. But the idea is that Binyamin was so concerned with his samich, with his gvul, with his tchum, to try to protect that. And that perhaps is another important lesson of Hanukkah, and at least from the downfall, we celebrate the victory of the Chashmonaim, but we could look at the downfall of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim to look as a area of chizik for us, of inspiration, that we should try to look at our own Dal Amos, with our own Samach, and realize that we are given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Tafkid HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And every person's Tafkid in this world is their own Tafkid. Never to be jealous of anyone else's Chalik in this world. So I wanted to connect it and finish with a story and connect it to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, who was just nifter a couple of days ago. There's a picture of my wall there. I didn't have any stories to share. related to him. But my son Debbie just came home today from Darche with a book from Aaron Leib Shimon somewhere here. So I was just leafing through quickly, and there's a beautiful story which I think very much connects to this idea of a person staying into their own Dal Amos, in their own Samach, in their own Tchum, into their own Gvul. So a person once went to Rav Aaron Leib Shimon to ask him the following question. He wanted to buy a car. So what's the Shiloh? This was many years ago when it wasn't so common to have a car in Eretz Yisrael. He was bothered to question whether he should buy one or not. And he was explaining that he very much needed one. It's going to help with his business, traveling around. But he was concerned one thing was bothering him. He kept on going back and forth. Should he buy it? Should he not buy it? And there's one thing that always bothered him every single day. When he decided he wanted to buy it, he kept on going back. And that's why he went to Rav Aaron Leib Shimon to ask him the following Shiloh. He says to him, you see, none of my friends or family members or neighbors have a car. If I buy the car, I'm the only one in the neighborhood amongst my friends and family that will have a car. And I'm concerned that's going to create a lot of jealousy. So he says to him, have you memorized Shas yet? He says, no, I have a job. I don't have time to memorize Shas. He says, have you memorized one full Seder? Seder Nashim, Seder Nezikin. He says, I'm too busy making parnasa, providing for my family. Have you memorized one Masechta? Not there yet. So if that's the case, no one's going to be jealous of you. Buy the car, you'll be fine. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should all just realize that the only area we could really have jealousy is the world of Ruchnius. We should see how people are growing in their learning, spending time learning, waking up early learning, staying out late learning. That should be the only area, Kinas Sofrim, of creating more learning in this world. But when it comes to other things, Gashmish in this world, we should all just realize that whatever we're given, whatever our tafkid is, we should be matzliach in that tafkid, but realize that that's our samech, that's our gvul, that's our sheva binyamin, and stick to that, and that should be a source of chizuk for each of us.